Thank you, Kashif. Can everybody hear me? Yes? Good.
Yes.
Greetings, everyone. Hope you're having a good day. Enjoying the nice
weather. Yes, we did.
We're carrying on with our preaching through Philippians, almost coming to an end. And we're going to concentrate on verses 8 and 9 of chapter 4. But I'm going to read to you a couple verses beforehand just to put it into context. Sorry, I didn't give you the scriptures. I didn't write that down, but just follow me until you come to verse 8. So this was what Sonny spoke from last week. As Paul's concluding thoughts here, various commands and advice that he's giving the church. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Notice in the earlier verse, it says, if we pray about everything, the peace of God will be with us. And Paul's definitely playing with language here and now telling us, if we control our thought life, the God of peace, the God who gives peace, will be with us. We will have fellowship with God if we can put this into practice, what he is speaking about. You could say that last week, Paul was directing our attention towards faith. If you're anxious about anything, bring it to God in prayer. That's exercising faith. And in this section, he's talking about what we have in our minds, what we think about, and also what we practice, the type of examples that we follow. What we have learned and received and heard and seen in Paul, practice these things. So verses 8 through 9 is talking about obedience. And if we combine faith and obedience, we will have the peace of God as well as fellowship with the God of peace in an abundant way. Paul's drawing our attention here to the importance of our minds. He's done that elsewhere. Romans chapter 12. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. What goes on in our minds is a very important issue. The thoughts that we have, the things that we believe, is extremely important to the kind of people that we are. And so he's drawing attention to the thoughts that we have. I looked up on the internet, I Googled, how much do we think in a day? And as you can see there on the paper, it was found that the average person has 12,000 to 60,000 thoughts per day. 12,000 to 60,000 thoughts in a day. Our minds are quite active. Now notice this, of those thoughts, 80% were negative and 90% were exactly the same repetitive thoughts as the day before. So not very profitable. Our thinking is not very profitable according to this statistic. And another one related to the thoughts that we receive from around us, how many advertisements do we see in a day? Fast forward to 2020. There are no official figures, but it's estimated the average person encounters between 6,000 and 10,000 adverts every single day. It's hard to imagine how we're getting exposed to them so often, but think about it. When you see somebody's shoes and you see a little Nike sign on it, that's sort of an advertisement. When you see somebody's cap and it says Nike on it or some other brand name, that's a form of advertisement. Of course, we're bombarded with them from newspapers, magazines, movies, and billboards. So we're bombarded. When you use Google, you get tons of advertisements, right? I've been looking for pots for outside. Now every time I go on Google, I get all these pot commercials. Plant commercials for pots for the outside. We're bombarded by messages from the world, from the flesh, our sinful nature, and from the devil. So today I'm talking about Christian meditation, disciplining our minds to think properly. And meditation goes way back, and it's quite a famous idea and popular idea in India. And back in one of the most famous writers about yoga and meditation is known as Patanjali. Patanjali wrote a famous book called the Yoga Sutras, somewhere between 500 BC and 200 AD. Scholars have a hard time dating writings in India, so that's a 700-year period. Patanjali wrote a manual about meditation or yoga, not hatha yoga, not yoga where you exercise your body so much. It's the yoga of the mind. And Patanjali's idea of yoga is given in the very beginning of his book, the first couple of sentences. He says, yoga is restraining the mind stuff, chit, from taking various forms. That's one way to translate the Sanskrit. Another is, yoga is to still the turnings of consciousness. Patanjali and those in the Hindu tradition and Hindu philosophy recognize that what we're already talking about. We have all these thoughts going through our heads all the time. And they see these thoughts as negative, as unhelpful. They see them as keeping us in bondage to samsara, to rebirth, reincarnation. And so Patanjali gave the method of yoga, which was popularized later on in the 20th century. Vivekananda brought it to the West. And for Patanjali, it's a method of concentrating your mind so that your mind is free from having various thoughts. It's trying to empty your mind of thoughts altogether until you become aware only of being conscious. You're conscious only of consciousness, but no thoughts are going through your mind. And when you reach that state for Patanjali, that's called samadhi. Samadhi is the state of mind where you no longer have a distinction between thoughts and a thinker. You lose your sense of being an individual who has thoughts and feelings. And in this tradition, that's moksha. That's freedom. That's liberation. The whole goal of life in this tradition is freedom from ignorance and samsara, that's rebirth, liberation from that through the practice of yoga. But that's quite different than what I'm talking about, and quite different than the biblical idea of yoga, because we are not meant to empty our minds. We are meant to control what goes on in our minds. Notice Paul says, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, commendable, if there's any excellence, if it's worthy of praise, think about those things. We are not meant to empty our minds, but fill our minds with the right kinds of thoughts. And that's really important. By the way, just a little side. What is man made up of? What is man made up of? Some Christians say we're made of a body, a soul, and a spirit. That's called a tripartite view. The view that we have three major parts of us, body, soul, spirit. I happen to believe that soul and spirit are used interchangeably in the New Testament. And so it's better to say we're made up of body and soul. We can't go into this in detail, but we could at another time. And so now the Bible also speaks about our heart, our mind, our heart. And I think these words are somewhat interchangeable. We say guard your mind, also guard your heart. Talking about the non-material, the non-physical part of us, the spiritual aspect of us as human beings. And what goes on in our minds or in our hearts is the important thing. When we speak about the heart or the mind or the soul, the Bible draws attention to our true self, which is far better than just the physical part of us. It doesn't matter whether you're 5 feet tall or 6 feet tall. It doesn't matter whether you're white or black. It doesn't matter whether you're overweight or skinny. That's not the most important thing about us. What's important about us is what's in our hearts or in our minds, right? DK? Yebatsache? It's our heart that matters. Are we loving or are we selfish? Are we greedy or are we generous? Are we honest? Or are we liars? Do we have integrity or are we hypocrites? Are we seeking to be holy or do we secretly cherish sin in our hearts? Are we faithful and trustworthy? Do we keep our word? Are we righteous or are we self-seeking? Are we right? You know, one definition of righteous is that a person who will harm themselves for the good of another. If you say you will do something for somebody, you make a promise, you keep that promise, even if it hurts you. A righteous person, according to the Bible, will disadvantage himself for the advantage of another person. The unrighteous will take advantage of others for their own sakes. Are we seeking to be faithful to God, or are we self-seeking? Are we wise, or are we foolish? That's what we're talking about. What's going on in our heart or our mind? And one of the things Paul's teaching us here is we really have to guard your minds. We have to guard our minds or our hearts, because it affects the kind of people that we become. Jesus said, if we don't guard our hearts and minds, it will get us into trouble. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Jesus said, what comes out of your mouth proceeds from your heart or your mind. And it's this that defiles a person. Out of the heart or out of the mind comes evil thoughts and murder and adultery, immorality, theft, false witness, and slander. If we don't guard our hearts, that's the junk that will come out. If we put junk in, we'll get junk out. I have one of Jack's old Bibles. Can you see it? It's falling apart. It's like really in bad shape here, but it's really amazing to read the Jack's Bible, because he has a lot of notes in it. And in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 10, verse 20, the book of Ecclesiastes says this: do not revile, that means think evil. Do not revile the king, even in your thoughts, or curse the rich in your bedroom, because a bird of the air may carry your words, and a bird on the wing may report what you say. Don't think evil about the king, because it may come out of your lips then, and then somebody will tell the king, and you will be in trouble. So in Jack's Bible, it says, slips of the lips reveal the thoughts of the heart. Slips of the lips reveal the thoughts of the heart. Bad attitudes lead to unintentional disclosures. Unintentional disclosures lead to deadly exposures. Unintentional disclosures lead to deadly exposures. We must guard our minds and our hearts. In the context of the book of Philippians, Paul's speaking about these two women, Syntyche and Euodia, getting along with each other. He's talking to the congregation about being of one mind. Think how important it is to have the right thoughts to maintain unity. How hard it is to love and forgive and welcome and embrace other people if, in your mind, you are replaying all of their sins over and over again. If we allow our thoughts to concentrate on the wrongs that other people have committed, we will really have trouble loving them and forgiving them and being united to them. If we allow our minds to go back and keep thinking about ways that we have been hurt by others in the past. We will struggle with becoming joyless and bitter. If we keep thinking about what we deserve and what we have missed and what others have, and we will be miserable and unhappy. It's impossible for us to be unified if we allow negative movies to run in your minds about other people. So one reason to guard your thoughts, they will come out in your lips and they will be exposed and you can get in trouble. A second reason is the unity and love that Jesus wants in the church is broken if we allow our thoughts to constantly go back to what others have done to hurt us or sin against us. A third reason to guard our thoughts is that because our minds are infected by indwelling sin and by the world around us, we should not automatically trust our thoughts, but instead, we should expect them to be twisted. We should expect our thoughts to need correction, because they come from us as fallen human beings. Listen to Proverbs chapter 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not trust in your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Do not trust your own thoughts. Bring them to God. Bring them to Christ. Bring them to the Bible and let the Bible direct your thoughts. Now let's turn to this list. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, excellent, worthy of praise. True, satya. Think on what is true. Watch out for the lies of the world and the devil. Lies like no one cares for you. Lies like everybody else is having a great time in life, but I'm left out. Lies that like I'm worthless, nobody likes me. Or lies that says I'm really good and everyone else is really bad. Lies like I'm not such a sinner. You are such a sinner. Or lies like, I'm so bad of a sinner that God would never love me. Lies about your brothers and sisters. They're not really true. They're not really Christians. Watch out. Tell yourself the truth. God doesn't really watch over me. I have to watch over myself because God can't be trusted. That's a lie right out of hell. If I don't look after myself, nobody else will. I'm all alone. Lies. Watch out for lies. Concentrate on what is true. God in heaven loves me. Jesus died and rose again, and I'm being held in His hands. I have brothers and sisters who, though we are not perfect, though we are still sinful, we love one another, who will help and care for us. This world is going, and I'm going, into eternity with with the Father and with my brothers and sisters. My life matters now. These are the truths to remember. What is honorable? I tried to find the Hindi word for this. Honorable. Mananiya. Noble, honest, good, reliable, faithful, full of integrity, trustworthy, dependable. An honorable person does the right thing even when no one is looking. What is honorable? What we know to be right. What is just or righteous? Keval, dharam. Keval, dharam. What is, again, these words overlap. What is good, what is honorable, what is fair, what is full of integrity. To be righteous and just is to be not biased or prejudiced. To treat people fairly. What is pure? Shud, pak, pavit. Shud, pavit. Not mixed, but holy. Not contaminated by anything that is evil or unholy. Think on those things. Lovely, sundar, piara. What is beautiful and pleasant and graceful? What is commendable? Sarahani, deserving admiration, what's of good repute, excellence, shresht, worthy of praise. Direct your thinking, Paul says, to these kinds of things. And don't concentrate on the negative. And now think about this list. Who is true and honorable and just and pure and lovely and worthy of praise and completely excellent? Who fits this description? One man, Jesus Christ. He sums up all of these qualities. And I think that's one of the simplest ways to put this passage into practice is to concentrate your thoughts on Jesus Christ, who, though he existed in the form of God, Paul reminded us, did not grasp on to being divine, but he gave up his rights, he gave up his privileges, and he served and sacrificed and loved you and me. Think about him. Think about his teaching. Think about his life. Think about what's on Jesus's heart. That's Christian meditation. Paul says, since you've been raised up with Christ, seek the things above where Christ is. The writer of Hebrews, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. Mind your thoughts. Now we'll get very practical about applying this scripture. How to apply this scripture? How to apply this command? And one way is very simple. Get the Bible. Get some scripture into your life. Read the Bible. Are we reading the Bible daily? You might say, oh, I try reading it, but it's so hard to understand. Here's a simple guide. You read two or three chapters a day. Don't try to set the world on fire. Start reading a gospel or a letter or some book in the Old Testament Probably it's best to start in the New Testament and just read two chapters a day. And all you do is ask yourself, what does this passage teach me about God or man, if anything? Or you can ask yourself, is there a promise that I can believe? Or is there a command that I should obey? Or is there something in this teaching that I can give thanks to God for? That's simple enough. Daily, let scripture in your mind on a regular basis. Another way to have scripture in your life is join a Bible study. And I know the ladies have several Bible studies, and I'm really proud of you for that. And men, brothers, what about you guys? We have different times where we try to get together, and frankly, we're very poorly attended. We need to get in the scriptures together, men. I'll leave it there. A third way to get scripture in your lives is to memorize a Bible verse. Memorize Bible verses. How many? And I have to admit that I used to make a practice of memorizing scripture, but I haven't done that for a while. We should start memorizing scripture together, church. Yeah? We could memorize one of these scriptures right from the book of Philippians. There's three ways to apply getting the Bible in your life. Read a couple chapters a day. Join a Bible study. Men, memorize scripture verses. Whole church. And Paul promises the God of peace will be with you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the one with all excellence. He is beautiful beyond description. He is just and righteous. He's pure and holy. Lord, I pray that you would help us to have our minds filled with Jesus, as well as with good and noble thoughts about others and about you, Lord, and about God and our relationship with you. Make us aware of the negative thoughts that go through our minds. I pray you'd help us to discipline our minds that we might fill them with truth rather than the lies of the devil or the flesh or the world. And that it would change, therefore, our characters. We thank you that the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, is available to us as we lift up our needs to you in prayer. We thank you that as we dwell on you and direct our minds towards Jesus, you, the God of peace, also will fellowship with us. Honor that promise. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you've suffered and died to break us free from the lies of this world. We thank you that your truth shall set us free. Give us that freedom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.